Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. Support American-made, tariff-free clothing with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust, Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers comprehensive auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus, benefits like 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim through the repair process to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Act now and get one full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Visit endurancewarranty.com for your fast free quote today. That's endurancewarranty.com.
Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust, Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers comprehensive auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus, benefits like 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim through the repair process to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Act now and get one full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Visit endurancewarranty.com for your fast free quote today. That's endurancewarranty.com.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Doctors, what patient made you go? How the foo asterisk care are you even alive? Story 1. A loud and angry guy showed up at the hospital in a wheelchair. He kept saying he was totally fine and didn't want to be there. He said the emergency team had ruined his fun night. They brought him in from a party in the woods. Somehow, he had a chainsaw stuck in his leg, from his thigh down to his shin. On top of that, he had serious burns on half his body from falling into the campfire. He had clearly been drinking a lot, but he didn't seem to care that he was badly hurt. In the end, doctors had to remove part of his leg below the knee, and he also got a bad infection from the burns. But honestly, if his leg hadn't been that badly injured, I'm pretty sure he would have tried to get up and argue with people right then and there. Story 2. I was on call for the ER in a small town when the nurse called me late at night. She said, EMS brought someone in and they're not sure she's alive. I paused and asked, well, is she? And she replied, I don't know. This nurse was very experienced. So that answer worried me. I rushed to the hospital, thinking this was a cold blue situation. When I arrived, I finally understood her confusion. In the trauma room, under a blanket, was someone who looked almost like a skeleton. At first glance, it was hard to tell if they were alive, but the person felt warm, so I checked her eye, and to my shock, the eye was sunken, yellow, and wrinkled, and then it moved. Her potassium level was dangerously low. For those who know lab numbers, it was 1. Turns out, it was a tragic case of deep depression and serious neglect. She weighed just 67 pounds at 5 feet 5 inches. We gave her aggressive treatment. After nearly 8 liters of fluids, she started saying a few words and even recognized her daughter. It was one of the most unbelievable recoveries I've seen. Story 3. My dad's doctor couldn't believe two things. First, that he didn't need his feet removed, and second, that he was still alive. My dad had a serious form of diabetes where his pancreas would randomly stop working because of a condition he was born with. At 82, he also had major heart problems, chest pain, an enlarged heart, and blocked arteries. One day, his feet turned completely black, not just a little discolored, completely dark like charcoal. We rushed him to the emergency room. The doctors told us they would need to remove his feet and also told us we should say our goodbyes. But my dad refused the surgery. He said he'd rather take his chances at his age. Hours later, something incredible happened. His feet slowly turned pink again. By morning, we were able to take him home. The doctor even apologized for scaring us and said he had never seen anything like that in his career. Story 4. I was the patient in this story. When I was 2 years old, I was being treated for asthma, wheezing, trouble breathing, and all the usual signs. One night, things got much worse, so my mom rushed me to the emergency room. They did a CT scan with me lying face down. This was back in 1990. When the scan was over and they turned me over, I had turned blue and wasn't breathing. The scan showed something shocking, a large mass in my chest, about the size of a volleyball. Emergency surgery revealed what doctors believed was something left over from a twin that never developed properly. It had hair, fingernails, arms, and legs, but no major organs. It had been growing inside my rib cage and eventually got so big that it blocked my airway. They removed it, and I made a full recovery. I'm now 31, completely healthy, and have zero asthma. The only reminder is a scar that runs from the center of my chest to the center of my back. Story 5. I once treated a patient who had been hit by a car and crushed against a telephone pole so badly that he was completely separated at the pelvis. Paramedics had to carry his legs in separately. The craziest part? He was fully awake and talking when we started treating him. While we rushed to put in a central line, multiple surgeons worked fast to stop the bleeding. He kept refusing pain medicine the whole time. Absolute legend. He was in the operating room within 5 minutes. Thankfully, this happened at a top-level trauma center with an amazing surgical team. Last I heard, he actually survived. I'm not sure how his recovery went, but it was one of the wildest cases I've ever seen. Story 6. I'm currently in residency, but I met this patient during medical school, and her story really stayed with me. She came in for a routine hip surgery. Nothing unusual, and everything went smoothly. She was one of the kindest, most gentle people I'd ever met. When we looked into her medical history, I was shocked. She had once been diagnosed with stage 4 endometrial cancer that had even spread to her brain. She went through everything, chemo, radiation, surgery to remove the main tumor, and even brain surgery. Despite all of that, she had been cancer-free ever since. She was doing well, living her life, and now just needed a standard surgery. Her strength and recovery honestly blew me away. Story 7. During my residency, I had a patient in the ICU who had just finished a major heart surgery, open heart bypass that lasted 6 hours. Less than an hour later, he crashed, and they had to reopen his chest right there in the ICU. There was no time to take him back to the operating room. He needed 12 units of blood. His heart had to be manually massaged and shocked 4 times. The surgeon operated right in the ICU to save him. The patient had a long history of substance use and alcohol dependence. The nurses had even nicknamed him the cockroach because nothing seemed to take him down. I checked on him every day for 4 weeks. He was completely unresponsive the whole time. In the second week, things got worse. We had to call Yenti because he had maggots in his nose. At that point, I was convinced he wouldn't make it. Week 3 came and went, no change. But then, on day 24 at 6 a.m., he suddenly opened his eyes. I was stunned. He now lives with a permanent tracheostomy and ostomy, but somehow, he survived. One of the most unbelievable recoveries I've ever seen. Story 8. About a year ago, a couple of photos of me before and after brain surgery made it to the front page. I had an acute subdural hematoma, a very serious type of brain bleed. The survival rate is extremely low, and even among those who do survive, only a small percentage regain full brain function. My condition was so severe that the bleeding caused part of my brain to shift, pressing down onto my brain stem and spinal cord, a life-threatening situation. Somehow, not only did I survive, but I woke up fully recovered and was able to return to work, get married, travel the world, and physically get back to how I was before. My neurosurgeon still calls it a true medical miracle, and I honestly believe it was. Story 9. A woman in her mid-30s came in for a checkup 1 week after having part of her foot removed due to diabetes complications. During the visit, we found her blood sugar was dangerously high, around 600 milligrams per deciliter. Normal is 80 to 120. Her foot was badly infected, so we admitted her right away. We gave her powerful doses of insulin, and while her levels dropped into the 200s, they just wouldn't go lower. We were strict with her diet, and it didn't make sense. Then we found out why. Her teenage kids had been sneaking huge 64-ounce sodas and candy bars into the hospital for her, just 1 week after losing her foot because of uncontrolled diabetes. It wasn't so much a how did she survive moment, more like how is she even managing life like this? Story 10. A friend of mine lost his entire leg from something as simple as slipping off the last step of the ladder. Just a 1 foot drop. When he fell, his knee bent slightly backward. Nothing broke, but it caused a serious blood flow issue. A major vessel got pinched, and over time, his leg started to lose circulation. It developed tissue death while he was still in hospital. They tried to fly him to another facility for advanced care, but high winds kept the helicopter grounded. So he was stuck there, waiting while the condition got worse. This all happened just 3 weeks ago. I visit him often, and sometimes we just look at where his leg used to be and quietly shake our heads in disbelief. He's handling it surprisingly well. We still laugh nervously at how bizarre it all was. I was there when it happened, and his knee barely bent. He wanted to just put ice on it, but I insisted he go to the hospital. Thank goodness. He was in great shape, even worked as a physical therapist. During surgery, doctors told his family he might not make it. Thankfully, he pulled through, but they had to remove the entire leg. Still, he's staying positive. It's a powerful reminder of how strong and fragile the human body really is. Story 11. I'm currently a med student, but back when I worked as an ER nurse, I met a patient I'll never forget. He came in with pain in the lower right.
Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust. Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers comprehensive auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus, benefits like 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim through the repair process to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Act now and get 1 full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Visit endurancewarranty.com for your fast free quote today. That's endurancewarranty.com.
Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust, Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers comprehensive auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus, benefits like 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim through the repair process to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Act now and get 1 full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Visit endurancewarranty.com for your fast free quote today. That's endurancewarranty.com.
Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one-coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get two select 2 or 2.5 quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.
Side of his abdomen. Classic signs of appendicitis. Nothing unusual. But then he told me a story that left me speechless. He said he was originally from the Congo, and years ago, while out in the wilderness trying to hunt gorillas, which is awful, I know, he developed the same kind of pain, plus fever and nausea, with no hospital or help nearby. He and his friend decided the only option was to cut open his abdomen themselves using a machete and remove what they thought was his appendix. He nearly lost his life from that alone, and then again from a serious infection in the weeks that followed. Somehow, he survived and later moved to Canada. Now here he was, in a modern ER, being told he had appendicitis again. I was amazed and a bit skeptical until he showed me a scar across his stomach. I told the surgeon, and they guessed he probably didn't remove the entire appendix the first time. Maybe it was exaggerated. Maybe not. But if it was true, it's easily one of the most unbelievable things I've ever heard. Story 12. I'm not a doctor, but I've had a few ask me how I was even still alive. Normally, if your appendix bursts, things get bad fast. Within a day or so, it can lead to serious infection. But that's not how it went for me. It started with severe pain. I went to the doctor, but he thought it was something like compacted stool and gave me laxatives. No surprise, they didn't help. Spoiler, it was actually appendicitis. One of my roommates told me it was all in my head and that I just needed to exercise. Meanwhile, I could barely stand up without almost passing out from pain. His solution? Just play a video game and take your mind off it. Not helpful. I was a grad student at the time, still in class, maxing out every over-the-counter painkiller I could find. I saw more doctors. Some thought maybe it was my appendix. Others weren't sure because I didn't have a fever or the usual symptoms. Finally, a GI doctor ran some scans and confirmed it. Appendicitis. The real kicker? My appendix had already burst weeks ago. So I calmly walked into the ER and said, "Hi, my doctor said I probably had a burst appendix and should get it checked out." The staff was shocked. Doctors kept coming into my room just to meet the guy who walked in with a ruptured appendix for nearly a month. One even asked how I drove myself there. Apparently, my body did something rare. It walled off the burst internally, keeping the infection contained. Some kind of biological miracle. Bonus twist. The original doctor who missed the diagnosis retired within a month. Probably just a coincidence, but still kind of poetic. Story 13. During my emergency medicine rotation as a med student, we had a patient brought in after falling from the 7th or 8th floor of a building, landing headfirst. He was basically gone when he arrived. We couldn't even get a blood pressure reading. As a student, my role was to stand nearby and squeeze bag after bag of blood into him as the trauma team worked nonstop. His first CT scan showed that his cervical spine, the bones in his neck, was completely shattered. It honestly looked hopeless. I assumed there was no way he'd survive. Fast forward about a month, I was doing my ICU rotation and saw him awake and talking. I couldn't believe it. After a fall like that, seeing him conscious was absolutely unreal. Story 14. We had a patient come in late one night with major aortic dissection, a life-threatening tear in the body's main artery. From the bedside ultrasound, it looked like he had already lost a massive amount of blood. We honestly didn't understand how he was still alive. Despite that, he was alert, talking, and even trying to stay calm. He was in his late 40s, young for this kind of emergency, and had been on a business trip when the chest pain started. He kept trying to call his wife to say goodbye, but it was 2 a.m. and she wasn't answering. The surgeon came in, bluntly told him he might not survive the operation, and they rushed into surgery before he could make the call. It was one of the most heartbreaking things I'd seen. He looked and acted like he was fine, but we knew the odds weren't good. Most patients with this level of internal bleeding don't even make it to the hospital conscious. But then, he survived. I followed up a few days later. Not only was he alive, he was awake, breathing on his own, and walking. That story stuck with me. In the middle of so many hard moments in the ER, it reminded me that hope and real miracles do still happen. Story 15. My mom's a doctor, and I once asked her about unbelievable survival stories. This was one of the craziest. During her ER rotation in medical school, a man walked into the emergency room, completely fine, no injuries, not even a scratch. But he had two police officers with him, which caught everyone's attention. The officers showed the ER team a photo of what was left of his car, or rather, what used to be a car. It looked like a crumpled piece of metal, completely destroyed and barely recognizable. They explained that just seconds after they pulled the man out, the wreck burst into flames. He'd missed being trapped in a burning car by a matter of moments. Yet there he was, standing in the ER, totally unharmed. The staff couldn't believe it. Word spread fast. And for a while, people around the hospital started calling him immortal. Story 16. My dad was driving his Toyota Avalon when he was hit on the driver's side by a Dodge Ram going 65 miles per hour. The impact was so violent, it ripped the spare tire out of the trunk. Even though it was bolted down, the car flipped several times into a cornfield. When it finally stopped, it barely looked like a car anymore. The imprint of the Dodge Ram logo was actually embedded in the side of the wreck. Somehow, my dad crawled out to the passenger side and walked away without a single injury. When he first called to tell me he'd been in an accident but was okay, I didn't think much of it. But when I saw the car, I broke down. It hit me just how close I was to losing him. Seeing that wreck was one of the scariest moments of my life. Story 17. My sister's story has stunned every doctor who's ever read her file. When she was 9 years old, she fell about 35 feet off a bluff and landed headfirst on solid rock. She shattered every bone in her skull. A very well-known neurosurgeon saw her right after the accident. He looked at the scans and told us, "There's nothing I can do. She has maybe a 10% chance of surviving the night. You should say your goodbyes." But she made it through that night, then through 3 weeks in a coma, then 3 months in the ICU. She spent 6 full months in the hospital as an inpatient. And today, years later, she's still alive. She has lasting injuries, of course, but her survival is nothing short of incredible. It just shows how amazingly strong a child's body can be. Story 18. My dad is 87 years old, and honestly, he's a walking miracle. He's had cancer in his prostate, liver, bowel, colon, and skin. For the skin cancer alone, he's had multiple reconstructive surgeries, including work on his lower legs and the backs of his hands. Every year, he still has to get at least one lesion removed. On top of that, he's had a couple of heart attacks, followed by a sextuple bypass surgery. He's also battled severe pneumonia, a large abscess, and even a minor stroke. His doctor still asks to see him every 6 months. Probably just a marvel at the fact that he's still going strong. Story 19. I'm a psychologist working in a psychiatric hospital. A few weeks ago, I met a 15-year-old boy whose life story left a deep mark on me. He was severely neglected as a baby by his mother, who struggled with addiction. By the time he was 5, she was exposing him to extremely unsafe and harmful situations in exchange for drugs. At age 9, he suffered a serious head injury caused by his stepfather. Then at 14, the same man hurt him again, this time a firearm, just for speaking up. Now he's in foster care, living with complex trauma and depression. Despite everything he's been through, he's one of the kindest, most soft-spoken kids I've ever met. I truly hope he gets a chance at a peaceful, happy life. He deserves nothing less. Story 20. I'm an ER doctor, and I've seen a lot over the years, but this one stands out. A man from a rural area came into the hospital because people noticed he looked like he was growing salt. He was completely covered in what looked like snow. Turns out it was uremic frost, a rare condition caused by severe kidney failure, where toxins build up and actually crystallize on the skin. I had just finished residency, so I was like, "Whoa, this is the real deal." This man had been in kidney failure for 3 months and had been throwing up every day, which, strangely enough, kept his potassium low enough that it didn't instantly become fatal. Even so, his potassium level was 9.7, normal is around 3.5 to 5, and his heart tracing showed a dangerous pattern called a sine wave, meaning he was at serious risk of cardiac arrest. By all logic, he should not have survived. But somehow, he did. If you've never seen uremic frost before, look it up. It's wild. Story 21. We had a wild case in an eye doctor's office. Of all places, a woman came in, saying her new glasses weren't working. So the doctor took her to back to double-check her prescription. Strangely, the new test gave a totally different result. The patient was overweight, but said she didn't have diabetes. The doctor had a feeling something else was going on and asked if we could check her blood sugar using a staff member's personal glucose meter. When we tested her, the meter didn't even give a number. It just said HI, meaning her blood sugar was off the charts. We had to really convince her to go straight to the hospital. I don't remember the exact number, but I do remember the hospital called it their high score for a while. The craziest part? She was totally awake, talking and functioning. Based on that reading, she shouldn't have even been conscious. Story 22. I work in an ER in Lebanon, where construction safety rules can be a bit relaxed. A few years ago, we had a stretch where construction workers were falling off buildings way too often. But one case stands out. A man came in after falling from several stories. He was impaled by a long iron bar through the back of his neck and out his left eye socket. Incredibly, he was fully awake and talking when he arrived. We rushed him into emergency surgery. Somehow, the metal bar missed every major artery, nerve, and vital structure. Even more shocking, he didn't lose vision in the eye. It was one of the most unbelievable things I've ever witnessed in the ER. Story 23. I once cared for a man who had incurable lung cancer from Agent Orange exposure during his service in Vietnam. On top of that, his wife had recently passed away. Despite everything, he stayed surprisingly positive while going through chemo. I asked him how he managed to keep such a hopeful outlook after such heavy losses. He told me about a moment from his time in the military, near the end of his service. He was flying back to base in a Huey helicopter. Suddenly, something went wrong. The chopper started going down, and not in a controlled way. He was sure it was the end. He described it as everything slowing down, getting bright, and feeling a deep sense of peace and acceptance. But then, at the last second, the rookie pilot pulled off an incredible emergency landing. Everyone survived. He told me that ever since that day, he felt like he was living on borrowed time, and every single day afterward had been a gift. That moment stayed with me. It reminded me that sometimes attitude truly does make all the difference. Story 24. This happened to my mom, who worked in healthcare when we lived in East Texas. One day, a woman came in with a massive infected wound on her leg, so bad that doctors were considering amputation. My mom asked her why she waited so long to seek help, since the wound clearly looked serious. The woman calmly explained that she had been letting her dogs lick the wound clean because she believed dog mouths are clean. And if that wasn't strange enough, she had also been soaking the wound in Dr. Pepper, thinking the doctor part meant it had healing properties. My mom was absolutely speechless, like a deer in headlights. Later, she checked the wound more carefully and found a couple of old canine teeth inside it. Turns out, one of the woman's dogs was so old, some of its teeth had fallen out in the wound. Yeah, that actually happened. Story 25. A friend of mine was in nursing school and was helping check in and out a patient who came to the hospital a lot. He was always seen by a nurse and a doctor, but nobody seemed to dig too deep into his repeated health issues. During one visit, as she was checking him out, she noticed a bandage on his side. She asked about it, and he casually said, "Oh, that's for my hole." Naturally, she asked what he meant. Turns out, the guy had an open wound that kept getting worse over time. And instead of seeking proper treatment, he had been stuffing it with pieces of T-shirts to cover it up. Meanwhile, during his repeated visits, they had only been listening to his lungs, giving him antibiotics, and sending him on his way without ever checking the source of the problem. It was one of those moments that made her realize how important it is to actually look and not just treat symptoms. Story 26. Not a doctor. I'm a funeral director. One day, I received the body of a man in his 90s. Just by looking at his face, I could tell he had been unwell for a long time. Another director had handled the embalming, so I hadn't seen the rest of him yet. Later, I met with his daughter to make arrangements. To my surprise, she asked if we could arrange an autopsy. As I went through my usual questions, I learned this man had lived a life full of medical challenges. Over 40 years of uncontrolled diabetes, multiple strokes, several serious infections, major heart problems, a kidney removed due to infection, and even surviving being shot 3 times. He also had deep pressure wounds, cirrhosis, and had suffered a heart attack just days before passing. He had poor vision, constant fatigue, and was a heavy smoker and drinker. By every account, it was incredible he had made it into his 90s. So I gently asked, "Just to clarify, why are you requesting an autopsy?" She looked at me, completely serious, and said, "Because he wasn't sick. This wasn't his time." And she was upset that I even asked. It reminded me just how powerful denial can be in the face of grief, especially when love and loss collide. Story 27. There are 3 patients I'll never forget, each one a reminder of what modern medicine and the human body are capable of. The first was a young woman, very pregnant, who had an elective procedure done under twilight anesthesia. She unexpectedly went into labor while still under, and everything that could go wrong did. She ended up in cardiac arrest and was transferred to our hospital in critical condition. We put her on life support using VA ECMO. When I first saw her, I honestly didn't think she would survive. But about a month later, she walked into our outpatient clinic. She was completely fine, not weakened, not struggling, just walking and talking like nothing had happened. It felt like seeing a ghost. The second was a young man who had a sudden massive internal bleed in the ICU. His heart stopped, no pulse for nearly an hour. Somehow, with incredible effort and multiple complex procedures, we stabilized him. It took weeks for him to wake up, but slowly, he came back, and after a couple of months, he walked out of hospital, his mind fully intact. He wasn't just close to dying, he had technically died. The third was a man with very advanced cancer. During surgery, the disease had spread so far into his major blood vessels that one of them, his vena cava, tore apart. The surgical team wasn't prepared for an emergency heart and chest procedure, so they just kept pouring blood into him to keep him alive until help arrived. The report said he lost 30 liters of blood, 6 times the amount in a normal body. He was as pale as paper for weeks, but somehow he survived too. These are the kind of stories that remind you medicine is powerful, but sometimes survival feels like something more. Story 28. When I was 8 months pregnant, I suddenly noticed that my baby had stopped moving for several hours. I went to hospital, and they decided to do an emergency C-section. That alone would have been scary, but what happened next was even more serious. During the blood work, doctors discovered that I was in liver failure. I had lost so much blood that my body had run out of its natural ability to form clots. Things got very serious, very quickly. I spent 3 days in the ICU and 2 full weeks in the hospital. The doctors were even considering a liver transplant. Both my life and my baby's were at risk. Thankfully, my liver recovered, and I was able to go home with my newborn son. We both survived. It turned out to be acute fatty liver pregnancy, a rare but life-threatening condition. The maternity and liver teams had to work closely together, something they don't usually do, but they saved both of us. Story 29. I was 7 years old and had severe asthma. My mom used to sleep next to me just to listen to my breathing in case something went wrong. One night, she fell asleep, only to jolt awake in the middle of the night. She realized I wasn't breathing. Without hesitating, she rushed me to the ER, which was thankfully just 10 minutes away. I don't know exactly what happened there or what test they ran, but at some point during the night, I was declared gone. Then, sometime in the early morning, I opened my eyes. I asked a nurse where I was, and she immediately broke down in tears and called my mom, who hadn't slept all night. The doctors were stunned. They couldn't explain how I was still alive. Based on everything they saw, I shouldn't have been. Now I'm 16, and I haven't had any serious asthma complications since. And my mom? She's the most loving, incredible human being on this earth. I owe her everything. Story 30. I work as a hospital medic, and these are three trauma cases I'll never forget. The first was actually the very first major trauma I ever saw. A man came in with a gunshot wound to the neck. It sounded serious, but somehow the bullet missed every major structure. No damage to his spine, no bleeding from arteries, no injury to the airway or esophagus, just a clean hole straight through. He was completely calm, just sitting there in a room like it was nothing. The second happened just a couple weeks ago. A man came in with a gunshot wound that had hit his femoral vein. He was losing blood fast, way too fast to make it to a trauma center. One of our nurses literally put her finger into the wound to stop the bleeding. While checking him over, I noticed what looked like just a small dent in his chest. No obvious blood, but it turned out to be another wound, and we quickly sealed it to prevent a collapsed lung. His blood pressure was so low the machines couldn't even register it. We had to use a manual check. By the time we stabilized him and got the surgery team in early, we were soaked in blood. Most of what was circulating through his body at that point was for fluid and donor blood, but he survived. The third case was heartbreaking. A woman came in with a severe abdominal infection. Her lower stomach was completely open, and everything inside was affected. When I examined her, I lifted the area to take a closer look and was hit with one of the worst smells I've ever experienced. She was in an incredible amount of pain, and sadly, the infection was too advanced. She chose hospice care. I still don't know how her family even managed to get her to the hospital. Story 31. I'm not a doctor, but I once met a guy whose story still blows my mind. He fell from a 5-story building, landed on his upper back. You'd expect the worst, right? But the next morning, he woke up in the hospital and just got up and started walking around like nothing happened. Barely a scratch on him. To this day, every time I'm in a building with 5 or more floors, I think about him. I look down and wonder, how in the world did that guy just walk away from something like that? Honestly, I've seen people more banged up from falling off a bicycle than he was from falling off a building. Story 32. Not a doctor, I was a patient. During boot camp, in the middle of second phase, I came down with a really bad upper respiratory infection. But I didn't want to get set back a platoon, so I just pushed through it. Once I finished that phase, I finally went to sick call. They ran a bunch of tests and eventually took a chest x-ray. The doctors looked at the scan, walked out holding it, and literally asked me, "How are you even alive? Your lungs are so full of mucus. You should be dead." At some point, it had turned into walking pneumonia. On top of that, I had athlete's foot that had turned into cellulitis, and I had a wisdom tooth pulled. The mix of meds they put me on was so strong, I don't even remember that entire week. Somehow I made it through. Story 33. Not a doctor, I was a patient. Years ago, I had a severe allergic reaction. But it wasn't just any reaction. It was a rare and life-threatening type that could be fatal on its own. To make things worse, the doctor who prescribed the medication accidentally gave me about 10 times the maximum dose. So I wasn't just reacting to the drug. I was overdosed on something I was dangerously allergic to. That landed me in the ICU for several weeks. My chances of surviving were slim. Doctors told my family I had about a 3% chance at best. Every time I woke up and saw visitors, a doctor would gently tell me to make the most of it, because I might not be there for their next visit. But somehow, I made it. Even after I left the hospital, I spent nearly 2 years seeing specialists to monitor the damage. Every single doctor I saw would hug me. Nurses and doctors would come in just to say things like, "You don't remember me, but I helped restart your heart," or "I was the one who cleared your airway when it was blocked." It's been 8 years now, and I still sometimes run into those same doctors and nurses in the city, and they still remember me. In a huge hospital that treats patients from around the world, they still remember. Story 34. I'm not a doctor, but I know a story that surprised almost every doctor who's heard it. I'm 19 now, but my grandfather's journey is something I'll never forget. When I was younger, my grandfather was diagnosed with testicular cancer. It was a tough time for him and for our whole family. My cousins and I would visit him after school, trying to bring him a little joy during his chemo treatments. After a couple of years, he beat the cancer. We were so relieved, but the relief didn't last long. He was soon diagnosed again. This time, the cancer had spread to his rectum. More chemotherapy, more hospital visits. But against the odds, he beat that too. He came through it once again, stronger than ever. Then, when I was 17, my grandmother passed away. Heartbroken but still full of life, my grandfather moved in with us. He was restless and liked to go out, sunbathe, feed the birds, ride the bus to park. One night, he didn't come home. Turns out he'd been in a bus crash. The driver had been drinking, and it ended in tragedy. For people lost their lives, and only 7 survived. My grandfather was one of them. The next morning, we found him sitting calmly in the hospital, laughing and joking. We were in tears, and all he did was complain about the hospital coffee. My mom laughed and said, God must have forgotten to bring him up to heaven. This year, he got the flu, and we took him to the doctor. When the doctor read through his medical history, multiple cancers, a serious accident, and now the flu at his age, his eyes nearly popped out of his head. Even the professionals couldn't believe he was still alive, let alone smiling. Story 35. I'm a midwife, and one of the most unforgettable cases I've witnessed involved a woman who experienced a massive obstetric hemorrhage, defined as blood loss over 2 liters during or after childbirth. This particular patient had a completely normal vaginal delivery. Everything seemed fine, until suddenly she began to bleed heavily. No one expected it, and we just couldn't get it under control. Every unit of blood we gave her seemed to pour right back out. Eventually, the doctors had to perform an emergency hysterectomy to save her life. Once that was done, the bleeding finally stopped. Here's what shocked all of us. By the time it was over, she had lost 8 liters of blood. For context, the average woman has about 4.5 to 5.2 liters of blood in her entire body. It's hard to even imagine. And yet, she spent just one night in intensive care, was back on the ward the next day caring for her baby, and was discharged within a week. It was one of those moments that reminded us just how incredibly strong women are. Story 36. I went to the doctor for something pretty routine, just bad heartburn. But during the checkup, the doctor started examining me closely. She looked into my eyes, pinched my cheeks, checked my gums, and then asked, "Are you always this pale?" I shrugged and said, I guess so. That's when she ran some tests, and it turned out I was severely anemic. My hemoglobin was at 6.5 and still dropping, a dangerously low level. It was caused by a mix of heavy menstrual cycles and stomach issues that kept my body from absorbing iron. Looking back, all the signs have been there. Constant dizziness, feeling cold, chewing ice nonstop, full body numbness, trouble breathing, even hearing things that weren't there. I had been feeling so off for so long, I just assumed it was normal. When I went to the ER, still thinking the doctor was probably overreacting, I told him I'd probably just go home. But after a quick blood test, they admitted me right away. My levels had dropped even more in just a few days. They told me I was on the edge of cardiac arrest, and that if I had waited much longer, I could have died in my sleep. After the blood transfusion, it was like night and day. I could breathe again. My color came back. I finally felt alive. Story 37. I had a patient in the ER who had been in a terrible car accident. Firefighters and paramedics had spent over an hour trying to get him out of the wreck. What shocked everyone was that, once freed, he actually tried to walk to the ambulance. When he arrived at the hospital, he was awake and talking. His speech was a little off, but he was conscious. Then the paramedics gave me a signal and pointed to the back of his head. His skull was open, so far that I could see inside. It was one of the most surreal things I've ever seen. We immediately paged a neurosurgeon, and the patient was rushed straight into surgery. Months later, I asked a colleague what had happened to him. Incredibly, he survived. Not only that, he had no lasting brain damage, just some occasional issues with balance. It was one of those cases that reminds you just how unbelievable the human body's ability to survive can be. Story 38. I'm not a doctor, but I'm a registered nurse. Last summer, I cared for a 19-year-old patient who had been in a horrific motorcycle accident. He was thrown through the windshield of a van, and by the time he got to my unit, he'd already gone through multiple surgeries. I heard that in just the first month, he needed over 100 blood transfusions to stay alive. He lost all movement and feeling from the waist down, along with his left arm. His right arm was still there, but barely functional. Despite everything, he was fully alert. He knew his name, where he was. But I honestly don't think he fully grasped what happened to him. His family was incredibly kind, but you could feel the emotional weight in the room. I can't imagine what they were going through. He couldn't sit upright because of constant pain, but when we laid him flat, he had trouble clearing his airway. It was a dangerous situation. He was at high risk for complications like pneumonia or choking, but somehow he made it through. Eventually, we discharged him to a long-term care facility. I never heard what happened afterward. He was only 19 years old, and his life had completely changed in an instant. It's one of those cases I'll never forget. Story 39. Not a doctor, but my future brother-in-law is definitely one of those how-is-he-still-alive stories. When he was about 5 years old, my fiancée was 10, their family went to visit their grandparents, who own a big piece of land. As a surprise, the grandparents gifted my fiancée one of those mini four-wheelers for kids. It could actually go pretty fast. Definitely not a toy you want a little kid riding unsupervised. The rules were clear: no solo riding and helmets at all times. Well, of course, the five-year-old just couldn't resist. One day, when no one was looking, he jumped on the four-wheeler and took off. He made about 30 feet before slamming straight into the back of his grandparents' Suburban. According to my fiancé, it was really bad. His little brother cracked his skull, had stitches all over his face, lost some baby teeth, and had to wear headgear for nearly a year. The doctors told the family it was a miracle he survived, and even more incredible that he didn't suffer any permanent brain damage. Fast forward to now, he's 18, doing great, and will be standing as the best man at our wedding. Story 40. When I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, my blood sugar was over 1,000, and I was less than a year old. My mom knew something was wrong. She took me to the doctor 4 times in 3 days, but each time, the nurse brushed her off as just a nervous mother and sent her home. Years later, I was also diagnosed with Addison's disease, though I had likely been living with it for months without knowing. At the time, I was living alone in a new town where I didn't know anyone. One day, shortly after returning home, I experienced what I can only describe as a conscious blackout. It kept happening over the next few weeks, and I lost the ability to feel when my blood sugar was low. A very dangerous situation for someone with type 1 diabetes. Eventually, I was hospitalized. It turned out I was in Addisonian crisis, which can be fatal if untreated. It took the hospital 3 days to call in an endocrinologist, but when he arrived, he recognized the signs almost immediately. They later told me that if I hadn't been diagnosed and treated when I was, my heart could have stopped within a week due to dangerously low sodium and high potassium levels. Story 41. This happened years ago, so I don't remember every detail, but it's something I'll never forget. We had a patient in the hospital, a woman on a ventilator with full-blown sepsis and multi-organ failure. Her kidneys, liver, lungs, everything was failing. She had severe metabolic issues and was unresponsive. We spoke with her family, and they agreed to withdraw life support. A DNR was issued, and we took her off the ventilator. But a few days later, she was still alive, still completely unconscious, still critically ill, but her brainstem was functioning. I remember standing with my registrar, what you'd call a resident in the U.S., looking over her chart. He just stared at it and said, "But how?" About a week later, during visiting hours, Her son came to thank us before leaving, and as he walked away, he said, "I don't know if it's relevant, but my mother practiced black magic." We just stared at each other. My registrar actually asked the ward sister to call the hospital chaplaincy team to find out if they performed exorcisms. Story 42. My old roommate's wife used to work in the ER before becoming a nurse practitioner. One night, she came home with a story that left us all speechless. A patient had jumped off his third-story balcony and somehow landed in a bush and walked away completely fine. But instead of taking that as a second chance, he decided to try again. This time, things didn't go so well. On the second jump, a branch from the bush ended up in a place it definitely shouldn't be. When the doctors removed it, the injury had caused permanent damage to the muscles that control bowel movements. They told him he'd no longer be able to hold it in at all. So now, because of one extremely bad decision and an even worse follow-up, this man will have to live with the consequences for the rest of his life. Story 43. I'm not a doctor, but my cousin went through something that most people wouldn't believe. A few months ago, she was in a terrible motorcycle accident. She had to be life-flighted to the hospital, and the list of injuries was serious. A broken ankle, a shattered hip, and possibly even a damaged artery. But the most shocking part? She was internally decapitated, meaning her skull had separated from her spine without breaking the skin. It's incredibly rare and almost always fatal. She was rushed into emergency surgery so they could reattach her skull to her spine. Doctors told the family not to expect much. They warned she might never walk again. Now, less than 6 months later, she's not only walking, she's back at work as a nurse. It's honestly one of the most incredible recoveries I've ever seen. A true example of strength medical science, and maybe even a little bit of a miracle. Story 44. I'm not a doctor, but late last year, my dad had a close call that none of us saw coming. He went to hospital early one morning with what he thought were bad stomach pains, maybe an ulcer. At 7 a.m., my mom called to tell me it was actually a heart attack. A few hours later, after an angiogram, the doctor sat us down and told us the truth. My dad had multiple blocked arteries, including the LAD, often called the widowmaker. They also said he had likely been having small heart attacks for years and had just shrugged them off. The next morning at 8 a.m., he underwent a quintuple bypass. Now, he's almost fully recovered, and this summer, we're planning a trip to a theme park to ride roller coasters together, with the doctor's full approval. It's nothing short of incredible. Story 45. On the first day of my emergency medicine clerkship, I saw something I'll never forget. They wheeled in a man who'd been in a terrible motorcycle accident. He had dozens of broken bones, arms, legs, skull, and severe soft tissue injuries. His Glasgow coma score was in the single digits. When he arrived, he still had a pulse, but it was fading fast. The ultrasound scan showed he was bleeding into every space in his abdomen and pelvis. His hands and feet were the same color as the white sheets under him. His lips were blue. His co-rider had already been pronounced dead at the scene. Honestly, the guy looked gone. I stepped away for just 5 minutes, and when I came back, they were rushing him to the OR. Apparently, the trauma surgeon had seen something, maybe a spark of hope, and decided to act. Later, I found out they had to crack his chest open, and multiple surgical teams, trauma, vascular, cardiothoracic, worked together to stop the bleeding. He was stabilized, but still in critical condition, and no one knew if he'd have brain damage, paralysis, or worse. Now here's the part I'll never forget. Exactly 30 days later, on the last day of my rotation, I saw him again, leaving the hospital through the front lobby. He was in a wheelchair, holding his discharge papers, smiling and joking with his wife, insisting he could walk if they'd let him. He went from looking like a broken body with no chance to walking, talking, and laughing. It was the ultimate full circle moment and a powerful reminder of how. Story 46. Not a doctor, but I definitely gave some doctors a story they'll never forget. It started on a Friday around lunchtime. I had this pain in my stomach and figured I probably pulled a muscle at work. I tried to push through it, but by Saturday morning, the pain was unbearable. The only time it didn't hurt was when I tried to use the bathroom. I finally went to the ER. They sent me in for a CT scan. And while I was lying there, I suddenly started throwing up black stuff. At that point, the staff freaked out and rushed me to the OR. The problem? No one was telling me why. I panicked, ripped out my four, and walked out of hospital. Just went home like nothing happened. That night, the hospital called me over 140 times trying to get me back. I ignored every call. By Sunday morning, I felt like I was dying. I fell out of bed and couldn't get up. My ex called 911, and when the paramedics arrived, they said, "Yeah, we've been waiting for your call." Turns out, my appendix had ruptured on Friday. I'd been walking around for 2 full days with a burst appendix and was now severely septic. When I finally woke up on Tuesday, the doctor told me just how close I came to dying. He even asked me to sign a release form so he could use my case and pictures of my appendix in a medical book he was writing. He told me straight up, "You were just minutes away." Story 47. Not a doctor, but when I was just 2 years old, I was diagnosed with meningitis, a serious, life-threatening infection. I was rushed to the local hospital, and the doctor immediately realized they didn't have the resources to treat it. They put me in an ambulance headed for a children's hospital an hour and a half away. Halfway there, the ambulance broke down. They had to send another one to come get me. Time was critical, but somehow I made it to the hospital. I spent 2 weeks there. My parents later told me the doctors never gave a clear answer when they asked about my condition, but the looks on their faces said it all. They didn't think I was going to make it. Meningitis can be deadly. And even if you survive, many people face long-term complications, like amputations, neurological damage, or other permanent effects. But after 3 or 4 days in the ICU, I finally started responding to treatment. In the end, I survived. And the only lasting effect I had was 97% hearing loss in my left ear. No amputations. No other disabilities. Now, 26 years later, I'm here typing this story while rocking my own 2-year-old to sleep. Story 48. I once had an adult patient who was missing the entire right half of his brain. Sound impossible, right? But here's what happened. He had suffered a severe brain injury as an infant, likely a stroke. But the amazing thing about infant brains is how incredibly adaptable they are during early development. The brain can often rewire itself in ways adult brains simply can't. By the time I saw him, he was in his 40s. The CT scan was done for a completely unrelated reason. When we saw the image, everyone's reaction was pretty much the same. How is this guy even functioning? But he was. He had mild to moderate cognitive impairment, but he was living life. Talking, moving, interacting. Nothing that would make you guess what was going on inside his head. Just goes to show, the brain is strange and incredible. Story 49. Not a doctor, just a patient. But I went through something that left even the doctor speechless. I was in a pretty bad 4-wheeler accident. I fractured my skull, broke 3 ribs, my collarbone, my right shin, it was actually sticking out my leg, and my right arm. I also had deep cuts, bruising, internal bleeding, and fractured 3 vertebrae in my lower spine. I've always had a high pain tolerance. Growing up clumsy will do that. But this was on another level. Even with pain meds, the pain was unbearable. At one point, I was drifting in and out of consciousness, and I overheard 2 doctors talking just outside my curtain. One of them said, "I don't know how she keeps waking up. There's no way she should still be conscious." The other replied, "Honestly, I don't even know how she's still alive." I don't think they realized I could hear them. But that moment stuck with me. It was terrifying, but it also made me realize just how close I came and how lucky I really was. Story 50. Not a doctor, but I used to work in stroke rehab, and there's one patient I'll never forget. She was in her 30s when it started. Came to the ER with a severe headache. The doctors told her it was just the flu, gave her some pain meds, and sent her home. But it wasn't the flu. Her symptoms worsened, and over 24 hours later, she went back to the hospital. By the time they ran imaging, her consciousness was already fading. A slow brain bleed had been growing for hours. What started as a small hemorrhage had torn wider. She was rushed into emergency surgery to relieve the pressure and remove the clot, but it was 36 to 48 hours too late. I saw her scans. 60 to 70% of her brain was gone. She survived because the operation preserved her brainstem and because her family had the resources to provide full-time care and continuous rehab. But her mind was like that of a baby. She couldn't speak, couldn't sit up, couldn't even recognize the world around her. I sometimes wonder, was saving her really the right thing? Story 51. I'm not a doctor. I'm the patient they said that about. When I was born, my heart stopped, and doctors couldn't detect any brain activity for about 2 minutes. I was pronounced dead at birth. But I'm not dead. Years later, I had a severe allergic reaction that caused me to go into anaphylactic shock. My heart stopped again. No brain activity. This time, I was pronounced dead for 5 minutes. But I'm still not dead. And then there was a time I fell down a cliff, lost over half of my blood. On the way to the hospital, they thought I didn't make it. Everyone did. But here I am. I've been called dead 3 times in my life, and I'm still here. Story 52. Obligatory, not a doctor. But I'll never forget this moment. I got a call at work saying my partner had been in a car accident and was taken to the ER. They told me he was semi-conscious when he arrived, but now alert and talking. It wasn't critical, but they said I should come in as soon as I could. When I got there, I spent about an hour with him. He was joking with nurses and doctors, totally aware, even remembering most of the night and the crash. He seemed normal. Then a nurse pulled me aside in the hallway. They had just gotten back his labs, and his blood alcohol level was over 0.40. As someone with a bartending license and a background in neuroscience, I knew what that meant. That number is usually past the point of unconsciousness, or even death. And to top it off, he had been thrown headfirst into a tree during the crash. But there he was, sitting upright, cracking jokes. I'll never forget the look on the nurse's face when he told me the number, shocked, like he had just seen a walking medical mystery. It was surreal. The kind of thing you think only happens in textbooks, until it happens to someone you know. Story 53. Not a doctor, just a patient. When I was 18, I had a spontaneous pneumothorax. Basically, one of my lungs popped. It started on what seemed like a perfect day. I was relaxing on the back porch at my parents' place in rural Vermont, texting my girlfriend and enjoying the peace. My brother got home and asked if I wanted to go out. As I stood up, I felt a sharp, cold sensation in my left side. Weird, but I shrugged it off. We spent the rest of the day out, had a few drinks, and by the time we got home, I felt a similar strange twinge, this time on my right side. Still, I figured I had just pulled a muscle or something minor. The next morning, I woke up and could barely breathe. I couldn't move my upper body. Every motion was a struggle. I rolled out of bed and crawled up the stairs, gasping for air, trying to get to my parents. When my mom saw me, she rushed me to the ER, shouting that I was dying. Honestly, she wasn't wrong. Turns out, by the time they got me into radiology, both of my lungs were 90% collapsed. I had been walking around like that for hours and had slept through most of it. I don't remember much after that. My oxygen levels were crashing and I was slipping out of consciousness. When I woke up, I had 2 chest tubes, one on each side, draining air from my lungs. The next day, I had surgery to remove blebs, little air blisters, from the surface of my lungs. The surgeon later told me he was shocked I hadn't died in my sleep. Now, I'm doing great. I'm scuba certified, hiking regularly, and living my life to the fullest. Story 54. Not a doctor, but I witnessed one say something unforgettable to my grandfather. He was not even 40 when he was first diagnosed with esophageal cancer that had spread to the lymph nodes in his neck. The main tumor was near his larynx, and doctors told him he'd likely never eat solid food or speak normally again. Chemo and radiation followed, but the outlook wasn't good. The cancer had spread too far for full surgery. And yet he survived. He learned to swallow again. He regained his speech. Just as things were looking up, he had a stroke, likely caused by radiation damage to the arteries in his neck. It left him partially paralyzed and once again unable to speak or swallow. But he fought back again. Over the years, he relearned everything and found ways to adapt to the paralysis. Then at 50, cancer returned, this time in his prostate, spreading to his testis. Another major surgery, more radiation, and chemo. The treatment saved him, but he lost his body's ability to produce testosterone and had to start hormone therapy. Now, he's almost 80 years old. A few years ago, doctors found multiple dormant tumors, including some in his bones and prostate. They've been treated and are under control. He's weaker now, but he always bounces back. At his last hospital visit,
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy. Let's be honest. Loving your partner doesn't mean you always like them, and guess what? That's normal. Regain, powered by BetterHelp, offers couples therapy that's flexible, affordable, and 100% online. Whether you're reconnecting or working through conflict, Regain is here to support you both. See why people wish they'd tried couples therapy sooner. Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. That's regain.com/couplespod.
Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one-coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get two select 2 or 2.5-quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.
Doctor told him, I've never seen someone face so many serious illnesses over 40 years and survive them all. And my grandfather, always calm, always fighting, just smiled and said, when the angels are calling, I turn off my hearing aid. Story 55. Patient here. At just 21 years old, I was diagnosed with a giant tumor pressing on my spinal cord, specifically in the cervical spine, which is an incredibly rare spot for this type of tumor, especially at my age. When doctors found it, they told me that within a month, I could have been paralyzed from the neck down if it hadn't been discovered. The tumor was also pressing against a major artery, and if that was nicked during surgery, there was a chance I could bleed out on the table. To make things worse, the tumor had started to grow on the nerve endings connected to my right arm, and as a right-handed person, the idea of losing the use of that arm was terrifying. Less than a week later, I was in surgery, 6.5 hours on the operating table. When I woke up, I had an 8-inch incision down the back of my neck, but I was okay. No complications. My right arm worked. My feeling had returned. And I could finally do something as simple and beautiful as tie my shoes again after months of losing fine motor skills in my hands. This week, I go in for a follow-up to see if the tumor is coming back. Wish me luck. Story 56. Not a doctor, but I'm a ski patroller at a major resort in Utah. One day, we got a call. Skier versus tree. Those calls are never good. This guy had hit an aspen at full speed. When we arrived, he was literally wrapped around the tree, not breathing. We pulled him off to open his airway. He suddenly gasped, coughed, and blood sprayed from his mouth, but he was alive. We repositioned him and cut off his jacket. His chest was completely crushed. It wasn't just flail chest. It looked like every rib was broken. His skin looked like it had sticks underneath, probably shattered bones. Blood was coming from his nose, mouth, even his eyes. Then he stopped breathing again. We started CPR. With every compression, I could feel bones shifting under my hands. It was brutal. We kept working for about 30 minutes until the flight crew arrived. The flight doctor inserted a chest tube to drain the blood from his lungs and told me, "Hold this so it drains." I did, and blood poured out like a garden hose, soaking my entire uniform. The snow around us turned red, but he had a pulse when they flew him out. I honestly thought he wouldn't survive, but the next winter, he came back, fully recovered, and he brought us a few cases of beer to say thanks. Skiing is amazing, but it's no joke. Be safe out there. Story 57. During nursing school, I was caring for a patient on the Medis URG floor whose kidneys were barely functioning, if at all. His creatinine levels were in the 60s, and his GFR, which is supposed to be over 60, was 3. That means his kidneys weren't filtering anything. Just for context, those numbers are usually considered incompatible with life. I asked my instructor what kidney levels are considered fatal, and she said, before today, I would have said exactly what this guy has. The patient was refusing dialysis, and the nurses made it sound like he had already been educated and had made up his mind. But when I talked to him directly, he actually seemed really unsure. He told me he had friends who said dialysis wasn't worth it, so he just decided against it. Turns out, those nurses hadn't explained much at all. So I told him, I really, really think you should at least talk to your doctor about dialysis. With numbers like these, it might be the thing that saves your life. The next week when I came back, he was gone. I don't know if he was discharged or if something worse happened, but I hope